The following recording has a number of different options available to you. The first is the recording of the current Daf Yomi 13th cycle, and it's done rather rapidly, without great detail. That's followed by a very fast review that enables you to go over the Daf in about 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by a recording of the Daf Yomi from the previous cycle, done at greater length, more detail, and also with a different ambience, a different audience. You can use one for your original learning and one for your review, but whatever you do, enjoy. Today's daf in the second Shabbat, brought to you Mibein Chomot Yerushalayim, is, for those of you who don't have a clue, it's daf Kuf Lamed Vav. And we are holding on Kuf Lamed Hei Amud Beit at the Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, five lines up from the bottom. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol Shishaha, Shloshim Yom Ba'adam, Eno Nefel. Now, one of the things that we discussed earlier was that if we have a problem not being certain about the child, and if we don't know that it's an actual full-term infant, we will not move him, it says. Apparently, therefore, there's no Dechi of Shabbos, there's no Mitzvah of Shabbos, and so on. Comes on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel to say that you should know that a child who is 30 days old, Kol Shishaha Shloshim Yom Ba'adam, cannot be an Eifel, because that's the point that the Torah is saying, Ufuduyav mi ben chodesh tifteh, so that if a Bechor is already a month at that point, you pay for him. But before that, you don't know that he's a Bar Kayama. At this point, you know he's a Bar Kayama. As far as an animal is concerned, you don't need a full 30 days. 8 days, Shrona Yamim Bivehima, is not considered to be an Eifel because it says in Terumi Yom HaShemini Va'ala Yiratzeh LeKorban. So that means that the Torah is being matir, bringing it on the Mizbeach, which must mean that it has as an assumption of being a Bar Kayama. So what are you saying? Are you saying that Halo Shaha Sveika? When he says Kol Shishaha, right? Kol Shishaha means any child. In other words, what you're saying is any child that hasn't proven itself by actually surviving 30 days is going to be nichlas into that suffix about whether he's an Eifel or not. So then, understand, so how do we ever do Neil on Shabbat? It should always be, according to Rav Shimon Merlio, it should always be a problem of whether he is maybe an Eifel. So then if that's the case, so how the heck do we do a Dechi of Shabbat? Maybe he's an Eifel. Omer Avada Barava, well, basically, Malinot HaMemonavshach. What you do is you say like this, look, if he's a live infant and not an Eifel, so fine, that's my mitzvah to do Mila. If he's not a live infant, so what am I doing wrong? I'm cutting a piece of meat, right? I mean, he's dead meat. So what's the problem? Can't cut off a piece of meat. So there would be no Isser anyway. And therefore, there's not a problem.
He's alive.
And he's not alive.
As if he's not alive.
He just looks alive.
He's.
It's very simple. He is a biological construct that moves around and does things like that, but he's not alive. What's so terrible about that? You never heard of zombies?
You have your own time.
The Daf Yomi is full of zombies. So Mamonoshuk doesn't have a din of a live animal. Wait. We said that you can't do that. Understand that. Wasn't that the whole din in the Mishnah? We said that's what the case of Suffolk was coming to be, Marva. That it's the case of Suffolk ben Shiva, Suffolk ben Shmona, Ein Mechalalin Lavet HaShabbat. You just pulled the rug out from under the whole sugya. Because we should say the same thing. Why not? Go be Malam on Shabbat Mamonoshav. If he's Chai, so then I'm doing a proper Mila. If not, I'm just cutting a piece of meat. So why are we being Mamayat the case of that Suffolk? And that was the case that was added. We had all the other Sfeikot listed. Or my Margaret, the Ravina. This was a real conundrum. But I want you to know that me and Rav Nechumi Bar Zacharia got together and we explained it. Targimna. That the truth is, we do Mila. Okay? With a bright that was going according to Rebbe Eliezer, who said that Makshire Mila are Docha Shabbos. How can you do Makshire Mila? You can't, because maybe you're not kind of a Mila. So you're saying, the Mila Mamanavshach, either it is a mitzvah or I'm not doing anything wrong. But certainly making a blade for Mila, you're doing something wrong if the child is a chayiv in Mila. Carrying the blade, you're doing something wrong if he's a chayiv in Mila. That is what it was referring to. So, Mima Hokinami Ma'alinalei, the case of the safek that is not Doche Shabbat is only referring to Machshirei Mila. Lo Nitzcha Ela Machshirei Mila are going Aliba the Rebbe Eliezer. Om Rabbi, truth is, this issue about whether we should actually consider to be a nafel, to be dead meat, is not so pasha. It's really a machlokas tanoim. Because, take a look at this. V'chiyomut min ha-behemah asher hilachem la'okhla. What is this additional piece? If an animal from an animal dies of an edible species, what does it mean from an animal? Oh, that means about a min, not all animals, but that is to include a ben shmona, that over there, if it dies, then it's an avela. So v'chi yamut, even if you shechted it, that's what it means, no matter how it dies. So you go ahead, you shecht a ben shmona. Ben shmona over here means ben shmona chadashim, referring to large animals. Large animal gestation of cows and so on is 9 months. So if it's an 8 month, so then over there, it's telling me that shechita of that animal is not going to be matired for nevela, therefore it's dead. V'yomut. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim? No. You can actually shecht it, and you'll be matired it. So, what's the machlok? Get my love, look at me. Forget. Apparently what they're arguing is. Now, one man, the armor holds, look, it may not have the potential to continue living, but it is alive, and therefore Shechita is matire it. And the other man, the armor, says, look, it's only a biological construct. It's not living. It's just utilizing the chemicals that are biologically active to simulate life. So it's dead. So we're going to check something that's dead. That must be the machlokas. This is not Rashi. Tosfos has a very different approach because he tells to be no way to be matire it, and we'll see later on. Omar Rava, does this make sense? Do you understand the crazy case that we've gotten to? We're going to analyze a pasuk about the word bina behema is coming to be marba a ben shmona, and it's a very simple machlokas. Talk to me about whether if you shecht the ben shmona, whether you're allowed to eat it or not. What is this? It's a very simple question. So instead of being chaylik at this whole question of the yituma of a tyra, does it have a din of tumat nevelot or not? Just lift the galeni in achila. Can you eat it or can't you eat it? It's obviously that is not the machloket about whether it's considered to be alive or not. Ela de kule alma metu. Must be everybody agrees it's a metu. Now this is why Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat, because he thought is, how would Rava say you could eat it? Just because it's not going to be a batana, because we could eat it. Okay. In any event, China's rubble. It's got to be everybody agrees it's basically dead. Okay, so the machloket is whether shechita works, because we do have a question like that. And that is, how do we look at this animal? We look for, let's say you shoot someone who's a treifa. You're not chayev. You say, basically, you've shot someone who, for all intents and purposes, is dead.
Walking dead.
Yeah. So now, if this animal is a nefa. So it's like a trefa. If you shech the trefa, you can be matirid. So the trefa will not be matami as an avela. So maybe that's the machloket. So actually what's going on here is that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, both hold that yes, of course, it's definitely you can't eat it or anything like that. The only question is whether it's going to be tummy if it checked it. Where do we find an equivalent case of trefa? Is it not true that a trefa lav afagav de mete, even though for all intents and purposes we're considering it to be dead? So then, but if you shecht it, when it actually stops performing biologically, it's not matami. So alchinami loshna, there should be an equivalent of that case. And the rabban would say, no, it's not comparable at all to a trefa. Look, a trefa starts off as a normal animal. It attained the status of a living being. So now it has a trefa. That is not called dead in the sense that shechita will not be matired. But this thing had no shata kosher. High lo itala shata kosher. I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to say, and what about congenital trefa? We've never had a shata kosher, right? That's what you're going to ask me. I'll explain to you. If you try to tell me, so what would you say about a trefa mi beten my Igala Mema, it's still different. Because over there, Yesh Biminashkita, at least, look, is there such a thing as a trefa that is Nishkita? Yes. But over here, Ein Biminashkita, a Ben Shmona, there's no Ben Shmona, there's no Nefel that would have that din of Shkita. That's the difference. Now, what they asked the Rebbe, this is a statement of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Tani Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Is that in contrast to a Tani Kama that argues with him? Or would everybody agree to this? There's two issues here when we're saying, would everybody agree? A, would everybody agree that 30 days is absolutely a hochacha, that it's not a nefel? And B, would everybody agree that Stam, without any reason to suspect, that Stam, if it isn't Shehe Shloshim Yom, that it would be a nefel? Kol. Or do they argue on Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel or not? Now, let's assume for a moment that there is a machlokas. How do we pass it? Halacha kamoto in halacha kamoto. Tashma. Well, listen, it's obvious. What's the din of an egel shenolad b'yantav? It was just born. You're allowed to shecht it on yantav. Because over here, since its mother could have been shechted before, it was mukhan agavime. It's not considered to be mukta. I could have eaten it. Could have eaten it through the shechitat ha'ed. So when it's born, we continue to shecht it and eat it. Continue to shecht it and eat it. It may be a nefel. How could you eat it? It was just born today. Obviously, we do not agree with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. That's exactly what it's saying. And according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, you could not shecht it and eat it on yantav. Not necessarily, said the Gemara. We're talking about a case in which we would know for a fact that it's not a nefel. So, we are certain that it was, in fact, a full-term pregnancy. So we had evidence of the pregnancy before, or it was kept in isolation. There was no way that it could have been impregnated any time later. Or we could see simonim, that it's vadai, a full-term infant. There are simonim. There's a part of a question of how much we rely on those simonim, legabe an animal, or legabe a human. But in any event, whatever the case is, we know for a fact it's not a nefel. Reb Shimon Gamliel is talking at least about a case where we don't have absolute evidence that it's not a nefel. Okay, how about this? Toshma. V'shavim she'im nolad hu v'mumo imo. That's considered to be min ha'muchan. Now, the question over here is, if a animal is born, and it has a mum on it. So we have a machlokes about whether you're allowed to be roya mumin on a bechor. Can you, in fact, see a mum and say that this is considered to be a mum? Now it's okay to shech it. But everybody is moda that if it was born now with the mum, so then it's definitely considered to be mumo, because over here, there was no time in which it had a shame issa. The moment that it was born, it's born with this boom, and therefore it's not considered to be metake, even though there's a machloka about whether Riyas Mum would be like a tikkun. In this case, it was never huksik to have that mum. So if that's the case, you're telling me min ha'muchan, and I can eat it. How can I eat it? Well, it could be the same case. It's not a better raya than your previous raya. All you're telling me is that here's yet another case where I can eat an animal born on yantav. Thank you. I already explained to you how I can do that. Okay, how about this case? Toshma. Omri Vira Mashmah, halacha Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, okay? What does that mean? I mean, if I'm passing on Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, obviously somebody's arguing on it. So if he says halacha Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that would imply halacha mechlal de pligi. Not entirely persuasive. We'd have to do a lot of thinking about how this proves it is, does, because how do we know halacha doesn't mean halacha about one of the two issues? How do we know that halacha means that the Rabbanan would hold that if it wasn't Shayah, it would definitely be a nefel? We'd have to consider that it's a maybe. They don't know that. Maybe what they mean is we argue on him in a case where we know it to be a nefel. We know it's not kalolo kadasha. Now, if it lives for 30 days, is it now not a nefel anymore, or is it still a nefel? It could be that the argument maybe didn't cover both of the cases that we considered. Tashma. Oops, sorry. Shmamina. Om Rabban. Now, let's understand the machlokas over here. Because when we talk about the question of whether something is a nefel, what were the circumstances? I mean, what would be a case if the child falls off of a roof or is eaten up by a lion within the 30 days? Now, we have no evidence that it would have died in 30 days, right? Some crazy thing happened. So nafal min hagar or ochlo ari. In that case, everybody agrees that we have no reason to assume that this child is a leifa, and therefore chayu. The machloket only would be nogeya if the child sneezes and drops dead, stops breathing. So this would be some type of crib death. There, we have a question. So mar savar chayu, umar savar metu. So that would be the question, whether we assume that this child was a nefel, and this would be good for the machlokes between the chachom and Shimon Gamliel. They would say, who cares? Child's dead anyway. What nafkamina would make? Would make a tremendous nafkamina. The nafkamina would be if the father had died and the child had survived the father. Now, if it turns out that he's eaten up by a lion, so now, if you tell me that therefore, we don't have to be concerned that maybe it was an Eva. So then the mother doesn't require an Eva, because there was a viable child that survived the father. But if you're telling me, in the case where it's Tom, there's a crib death, so they say, oh, now she needs Yibam, because now we see that this was not a viable infant. So therefore, that would be the nafkamina. Yeah, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. How can you say that? The nofo min agag, or achlo ari divrei hakol chayu? You're saying everybody agrees that that's not a problem? And what about the story when Rav Papa and Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua came to Rav Ibi Bar Avid's son, and what happened was that he made them this marvelous egel, and it was an egel at the altar, third-born egel in their honor. Problem was, it was on the seventh day from its birth, not on the eighth day. And they said to him, what a shame. If you had waited until the evening, we could have had a nice meal. Now, we don't know if it's kosher because maybe it was an eifel. So, what do you mean? I mean, shechting it is not different than a lion eating it up. You're telling me if a lion eats it up, we don't have any chashash. We're not going to stop being chashash that a child is an eifel. It's only when we indicate that there's something was wrong. By the way, it's interesting about Chalokas, Rishonim, and Poskim. Legabe, what about if the child got sick and died? Is bacteria the same as a lion, or is the indication of a compromised immune system the same as an aphel? Very interesting, Machloka. So that would be the case of the Piek Vibate. In any event, but getting back to this case. So it was clear, therefore, that we say about a stone animal eaten up by a lion, or in this case, a very vicious human who cut its neck, and that the din is over there, that we would still be chayish. Whoa, ashta, but now we can't eat it. Okay, you're right, sorry. Let's restate that. If the child just dies with sudden infant death syndrome, so divrei hakol metu, for sure, that's an indication that the mother requires yibum, and something must have been wrong here. Keep pleading. B'nafal min hagag, or achlo ari. The question over here is if some force majeure impacts this child. So Mars of our mate. The bottom line is he didn't survive. Therefore, we don't have this clarity that he's, and this is returning on Mars of our chayu. What does Rabbanan say? We're not chayshish. Now, Bereder of Dimi Bar Yosef. Dimi Bar Yosef's son had a child that died within 30 days of birth. So, it died within 30 days, and he sits down and starts propping Avelis on this child. So Omer Le'Avua, so his father said to him, boy, I see you really like that food they bring the Avelim, you know. I mean, you could just order some. You don't have to go through the whole 7 days of Avelis, you know. So Tzavarnita Kabayit Alamecha, I guess you want to eat some Tzavarnita, you know. That was the food, right? That's our gears. Tzavarnita is the other gears, which simply means supplies, meaning the neighbors. You figure the neighbors will bring you in food if they're feeling bad for you. You know, you'll be in Ovel. So he told his father, no, I know for a fact that he wasn't an Eifel. So Kimli Begave, Shekololo Chadashav. Same thing happened. Rav Ashi came to Rav Kahana's house where a child died within 30 days of birth, and he sees that Rav Kahana sits down and starts doing Avelut. You have to come into Avelut. Omalei, well, don't you hold of the Psak that Rav Yudah Meshul said, that you have to assume that if the child died within 30 days, it wasn't viable. If it wasn't viable, there's nothing about Avelut. Omar Lei said, yes, but this wasn't the case of a Suffolk at all. Because I know for a fact that the child was full 9 months gestation. Itmar. Now, we have actually an interesting question. Where a child survives its father, dies b'toch shloshim from its birth, the mother who assumes that she does not require yibum, because she doesn't know from chokhmah, is that she had a child, and the child died, but that's, you know, that's potter from yibum. She goes and she's makabel kedushin. So amdava nitkacha. Now, really, she needs mitzad asafek. She needs to get chalitza, you know. So what do we do? Omer avinu mishmei derabo. It depends. If she was mitkadeshet to a yisrael, not to a kohen, so it doesn't hurt for her to get chalitza. Mitzad asafek. So give her chalitza. But if she is an eshet kohen, and then if she gets chalitza, she's not going to be able to marry him. So then, ain't a chalitza, because we want her to be able to go through with the marriage. Since it's only a suffix, mitzad a suffix. We'll rely on the shita of the Rabbanan, who argue Reb Shem Gamliel, and they say that there's no problem, and in which case, we should, in this case where she's already with makabel kedushin, it makes sense that we should let her go ahead and get married. Arbia quotes Rava as saying, it doesn't matter whether it's a Kohen or whether it's a Yisrael. Rava said she has to get Chalitza and not get married to the Kohen, or, according to Tosfos, get divorced from the Kohen. Omer Ravina, Rav Sharvia, I just want you to know that Bu'ur Tamar Rava Achim. So, but that was in the evening. In the morning, he had charata. Said it's not a problem. And in fact, she should marry the Kohen, or remain married to the Kohen, according to the Tosfos. And Harabe had charata. You didn't hear the charata. I'm not chelek on your report, but you didn't hear it. The next morning, you weren't around. He was only mater. Omar Leitzer said, oh, you want to be mater? Yehira tzon, yehira avat, tishu tarba. I hope one day you're mater chelek, you know? Or some of the gears say, Yei Rava, the Tishu Tarka. You should be matra grusha to a coin too, just like you're being matra the chalutza to the coin. And some tiny one. It's a very strange thing to say. Let's give an interesting shot. But he said, because people are going to be semich on you, and I know that you're wrong. So if you go in, you're matra chalutza, no one will rely on you anymore. Now it'll be like eating meat in Munson. Okay. Continues the Gemara to say, when it comes to Shaila of an androgynous, so Rabbi Yehuda is matir. Rabbi Yehuda says an androgynous is definitely a male, and therefore the meal of an androgynous would be dova. Let's not misunderstand. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that for all intents and circumstances an androgynous is a zachar. Lo lakol Amar Rabbi Yehuda androgynous zacharu, because if you're telling me that across the board Rabbi Yehuda holds an androgynous is a male, so then if that would be the case, Imata Omer Kain, why if somebody says, I want to give the erechin of this person, now erechin is a particular value defined by the age and sex of the individual, and the halacha is, we're going to see in a minute, that an androgynous is not included, not as a male and not as a female, it doesn't get a din of a suffix, there's just no din of erechin said on someone who is of compromised sexuality. Therefore, if Rabbi Yehuda would have said that an androgynous is definitely male, why in the world would he not be included in the din of erechin? Well, who said he isn't? I said, why are you saying, maybe he is? No, it says beferish he's not, the Tanya. Hazachar, it has to be an absolute zachar. Rashi learns this from the extra hay. And then it says, Ve'im nekevas, the word dorish, ve'im. And that implies not a compromise. It has to be 100% a zachar, v'lo tumtum v'androgynous. You might think that that means lo yehei be'erech of a zachar. So he's not an ish. So he should be the erech of an isha. Let's put him into the other system, the other set of values. No. Talmud lomar hazachar ve'im nekevahi. So that means we put the same din on both of them. Zachar vadai, nekeva vadait, velo tubtum v'androgynous. That this doesn't include that the Gemara says elsewhere, take out tumtum, because tumtum simply means Not that there's any compromised sexuality, we just don't know how to identify the sex because the genitals are covered by a flap of skin and we haven't operated yet to remove that piece of skin. So that's bichlal sofik. That's not what we're learning out from the pasuk. But anyway, let's talk about androgynous. Now, you're telling me so maybe this is the rabbanan, or the rabbanan. No, this is a drasha in the sifra, right? Now, the Stam Sifra is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. So it means that Rabbi Yehuda, who's the one who says over here that you can do mila on an androgynous, is saying that nonetheless he's not included in the din of erechin. So obviously, it's a unique din, legabe mila, that he holds, that it says a din of a zohar. There's other indications of this. Rabbi Yehuda, so anybody can be mekadesh with the mayim that is needed for the poraduma. Rabbi Yehuda learns out from a pasuk that a male, and only a male can be mekadesh, relating it to other dinim, and he, however, he says, there's nothing to say that it has to be a adult. Could be a katan. But it can't be an isha, and it can't be an androgynous. What do you mean, can't be an androgynous? I thought you said that he learns that androgynous, the mila, is docha Shabbos. So obviously, here too we see that legabi erechin, or legabi kiddush, the mayim for the por aduma, the halacha is that he does not hold that androgynous is a zohar. Shema mina, so clearly it is not in all circumstances. Umay shna mila. Why then does he say that mila is different? Well, that's because the Torah goes out of its way to give us an extra drasha. He molachem kol zakar. What does that supposed to mean, kol zakar, as opposed to what? Oh, so that's the point. In other words, you could have someone who is a zohar in the sense I've got a penis to cut, but he's not called zohar because he's weirdly a zohar. He has ambiguous genitalia. And because of that, the extra kol, which of course makes sense, if there is what to do a mila on it. Maybe it's a din specifically in genitals. Mashenken, when it comes to the halacha of a zohar vis-a-vis other things, maybe it's not a zohar. So therefore, you should understand that the din over here by Mila is specifically Rabbi Yehuda by androgynous, not all over. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Kol Shishahash Lo Shimion Ba'adam Eino Nefesh Shedema Uf Du Yavmi Ben Chodesh Tifteh En Kol Shishash Shmonat Yamin Bideima Eino Nefesh Shedema Umayom Hashmini Vahala Yera Tzele Korban Holo Shahar Safeika Havi. How could you say that? Mi malek malin enle. Omer vada barava. Well, why not? Malino tami manusha. Im chayu. So shaper kabal. Im lav. What are you doing wrong? It's bechatek bebosaru. So lo de tanya. Sofik ben shiva, sofik ben shmona. Im bechalim ad shabbat. According to you, why not? Mi malek manusha. Im chayu shaper kabal. Im lav bechatek bebosaru. Omer mar berid ravina. Tough question, but anavarav nechumi bar zechariah dar gimna. You are my Olin. How do you know that the Brayta was referring to not doing Mila? The Brayta was talking about Lanisachar Makshire Mila. It was going out to the Rebbe Eliezer. And over there, there's no Mimon of Shach. Omer Abaye, truth is, the question of the status of a Nefel to be Bosser is a Machlor Ketanaim. V'chiyamut min ha-beimah shirilachem la-ochla la-avi ben shmona she'ein shkitato mitaharato. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Lez, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, even so, shkitato mitaharato. So my love, welcome if again. Mar sovar chayhu. Therefore, why wouldn't the shkita be mitaharato? This is a new halacha in terms of korbanot. Umar sovar, no, it's a dinner nefel, and he's a mate. Omar Rava, please, if that's what the machlokas is, so the achi, out of miflege linyan tumah v'tayr, just argue about whether he's kosher, no? Liflege linyan achila. Therefore, I say, kule alma meitu, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Dev, Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon Tzavri, even so, it's not going to be the tami nevela. Why? Because like a treifa. Is it not true that a treifa we could consider to be mate as well, right? And then it's certainly not kosher, but shkitato mitaharaton, hakanami loshna, whereas the rabbanan say, well, you can't really compare it to a treifa, a domino treifa. Treifa itala sha'ata kosher. Holo itala sha'ata, I know what you're going to ask. V'chidema, treifa mi beta michael amemar, it's still different. Hatam yesh b'mina shchita, acha ein b'mina at all shchita. Ibailu, this halacha Reb Shimon Gamliel, is it an argument? And Ipalig Rabban Ali, Reb Shimon Gamliel, olo. And if it is an argument, how do we paskin? Halacha kamoto, or in halacha kamoto? Toshma, egel shenolad b'yom tov, shochatim b'yom tov, how can you eat it? It's a suffix nefil. No, that could be achmai eskinat dekimle begaveshikalulo chadashav. Okay, and why does it say that even Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Shimon, who are chaylik about normal rias mumin on yontev, agree shavim that if an animal is born on yontev umumo imo, that's considered to be an amulchan? No, I just answered you. Achinam shikalulo chadashav. Well, Tashma, the Amr of Yonam, Shmuel, Allah, Shmuel, Gamliel. So that answers both your questions. If you're telling me halakha, obviously somebody's arguing, and we're basketing, like Shmuel, Gamliel, Shma, Mina. Amr Abai, Nafam, Min Agag, Oach, Loari, Direi HaKol Chayu, Ki Pligi, Shepiek, V'meit, Mar Sofer Chayu, Mar Sofer Meitu, L'may Nafkamina, Liftor, Min Ayibum. How can you say, Nafam, Min Agag, Oach, Loari, Direi HaKol Chayu, for Rav Pop and Ravina Berei, Rav Shua, Ikla Levei Berei, the Rav Yidi Bar Avi, V'yavadu Ikla Tilta B'yimama D'shiva, V'yamri Lei, what a shame. If only you had waited until the evening. Yatrachite Lei Adli Urta V'yachlina Minei. Unfortunately, Hashta Lo Achlina Minei. Ela, let's revise that. Kishepiek V'meit, Divri Akol Meitu. Ki plige ben afal min agag v'chloari, mar safar meitu, mar safar chayu. Breder of Dimi Bar Yosef, it yalad ayahu yenuka begot lati nyuma shochit. Yoti v'kom itavel alei. So his father tells him, boy, you must be really hungry. Sibar nita kabayita lamecha. I mean, you know, I'll buy you a sandwich. Amalei no, kimli beishikalulo chadashav. Revashi ikhla beirivkana, itra beimilta begot lati nyuma. Chazed yoti v'komin tabel alei. Amalei, don't you hold that we paskin? L'odi omer avida amash ma'alok r'pshim egomliel. In which case the child wasn't a viable infant and there's no need to be mitabel. Amalei, kim lepigavei shekalulo chadashav. Itma. Meit betok shoshim. And he survived his father, however. And the mother guts up and is Makapa Kedushin. Omer Avinu Deshmei Derava, well, if it's a Yisrael that she was Makapa Kedushin, it doesn't hurt for her to do Chalitza, right? I mean, so she's still a Suffolk, let her do Chalitza. If it's a Deshit Kohen, that's a problem. Better she shouldn't be Chalitza, that way she won't be a Suratim. Rib Sharvi, I'm Deshmei Derava, Omer. I don't care what the deal is. She needs chalitza, even if she's going to be a surah to him. Achatzu v'achatzu chalitza. Omer le'revino l'rav sharbiya, well, that was only in the night that Rava said that. But l'tzafra hadabe, omer le'sheritua, I hope one day you're going to be mashra tarba, or tarka, which is a grusha, to a coin. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, in the case of a Brit of an androgynous on Shabbat, Om Rav Shizbi, Om Rav Chista, do not think that that means Rabbi Yehuda is an androgynous, is across the board of Zachar. Lo lakolam a Rabbi Yehuda androgynous Zacharu. Shimata Omer came, ba'arech and yarech. So maybe he would always be arech. Minol and alone be arech. The Tanya, and this is a bright of the Sifra, has Zachar velotum tum androgynous. Yochlo berach ish, avaye berach isha, Talmud Omer, hazachar v'im nekevahim. Zachar v'adai, nekevah v'adait, v'lo tumtum androgynous. Now, are we agreed that a stam sifra is Rabbi Yehuda? Okay? And if that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda contradicts himself. Unless you agree that it was a unique thing when it comes to Mila. Omer v'nachmar Yitzchak, have another riot to that. Afanana mitinina. Hako kisherim l'kadesh to mayim for the paraduma, chutz b'cherashot of a cotton. Rabbi Yehuda says, where do you get the idea that a cotton is possible? Machshir bekatan. Actually, the din is that any zohar is kosher, but an isha is possible, and an androgynous is possible. Why is an androgynous possible if he's a zohar? Shema minad is not a zohar. So maishna mila mishum nechtivi molachem kol zohar. As long as it can be construed as a zohar, then go ahead and do the mila.
This morning's daf kuf lamid vav. We unfortunately are a bit takua in Kuf Lamed Hei, and a brief review on Kuf Lamed Hei is in order. assuming that consciousness remains. So, we brought a brisa at the beginning of the sugya that darshan the word orlato. Why is it that we need orlato? We went through a lot of cases of safek. One of the things that we brought was that orlato vaday dochet haShabbat velo nolad mahul dochet haShabbat. Now that, the Gemara said, seems to relate directly to the machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about whether there's a halacha of hatafat dam brit on a nolad kishahu mahul. The Tanakhama that expressed that machloket clearly held that according to Beit Hillel, there's no din of requiring hatafat dam brit. Period. Comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and says, no, that's a wrong application of the machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Actually, they were arguing about a Nochri who was Mohul surgically. So it's a medical procedure. And now he's coming to be Megayer, and the question over there was whether you need Hatafat Dam Brit. But if it's a question of a boy born as a Jew without any evident Orla, over there, forget about the issue of Hatafat Dam Brit. You have the question of, is there or is there not an Orla Kvusha here? And therefore, in such a case, even Beit Hillel was moda that, of course, you need to do hatafat dam brit. So we had right away a machloket as to what the machloket is between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Later on in the daf, we discovered that there was a different way of learning the machlokas as well, which is Rebbe Eliezer HaKafar's approach, also disagreeing with the Tanakhama, but agreeing that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel do, in fact, argue about a Jewish child who was born mohul. Except that according to Rebbe Eliezer HaKafar, everybody agrees that b'chol, there's certainly a suffix or oklusha. The question is whether there is a din of the Chiyat Shabbat, which is what Beit Shammai was saying, that you need Hatafat Dam Brit, and that is something that Hatafat Dam Brit is even on Shabbat. Now, it was not clear, not only to us, but it's not clear throughout the generations. There are major machlokas in as to what the real makor is of the din of Hatafat Dam Brit if it's not Nogia, this question of Orla Kvusha? Is it somehow a Kabbalah that that's the nature of Brit Mila? Is it at Rashi, as we mentioned a couple days ago, Rashi brings it from the Posek of Badam Britech? Or is it a Drabanan who viewed that as part of Knisa Labrit, requires blood, but it's blood of Karbonis, or blood, we know that we view the human being who's Nichnas Labrit is similar to a Korban, the Sandik is similar to somebody who is being Makri of the Korban, and so on. So there are in Yonim specifically of Dam, how much it's really part of Brit Milah is not clear. Whether one would make a brocha on Hatafat Dam Brit is not clear. Whether there would be a brocha even on Hatafat Dam Brit of a Nochri that was Mol is not clear. These things are major machlokas throughout the Deres, and it's there's no way that we're going to come to a clarity of the sugya here through the Gemara, because there's different ways of learning the sugya. But I'm sure you can see the sub-issues here between the text, because we introduced the whole sugya as a part of the list of various sfeikot, which is Orlato Vadai, which is mashma. The whole issue was originally the question of a sopik about a katan. So how exactly did that turn into a din of Hatafat Dam Brit on a goy where there is no sopik? So something strange is going on. There's an interrelationship between a real Orla Kvusha, according to some, which was another machloket that we spoke about. According to some, Orla Kvusha means that there's a real din of Orla. Assuming that we know there would be an Orla Kvusha, would be a standard Orla, would be Dov HaShabbos, wouldn't have anything to do with Safek. According to whom, the only way to do a Mila on an Orla Kvusha is to actually scrape the Atara to make sure that the layer of skin that might be an Orla Kvusha, that's removed. According to others, and Halacha L'maisa, the Orla Kvusha is not, apparently, I mean, the din is definitely, you don't have to scrape the Atar. The question how it works is apparently they would learn that Orla Kvusha is not a real Orla, to be Ma'ake from Achilas Trum and so many other Rambam Paskins. Hatafat Dam Brit is a separate issue, except that there's no point in Hatafat Dam Brit when there is no Orla. What are you being native? You might as well put an earring in your ear and have it bleed and say, I was native Dam Brit. The issue is the Dam. The issue is Dam from the act of removing an Orla. So according to them, Ein Hachinami, Orla Kvusha at least gives you the ability to be Matif Dam Brit, but it isn't necessary to remove an Orla Kvusha, because the very fact that it's Kofush means that the person is not Mechuse, so to speak, with an Orla. It's bottled to his bosser directly. That's the way most learn the other child. underneath the three-way machlokas between the Tanakam, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and Reb Eliezer HaKafar, as to what the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was, whether it was with a Jew, was it by a Goy, was it on Shabbos, was it on Chol, beneath that machlokas, you can't believe this. Simply cannot believe such a thing. Beneath all of that, we have a separate machlokas Amoroyim, which we discussed yesterday, which is, according to those who hold that there's a problem of Orla Kvusha, is it that there's a Vaday Orla Kvusha and Alad Mo'o, or is it that there's a Suffolk Orla Kvusha and Alad Mo'o? That was a secondary machlokas that Rav Yosef was trying to bring a riot from the way Rav Eliezer HaKafar had understood the machlokas. Fine. In other words, we don't see any evidence of a skin. So therefore the question is, does that mean that maybe there is one and maybe there isn't one? Or does it mean that every human is created with an orla, more or less visible, more or less dovuk to the actual skin of the atar? I find that's a question.
Is there a thing like
that's what he's saying. According to one Madi Omar, it's Vadai Orla Kvusha and Olad Mo'. So according to whom, you would be Docha Shabbos. That's why he was. That's why he went ahead and was Docha Shabbos. Was Menash. He said that he went against Rav. Rav Nachman, who tainted that he went even against Shmuel, because Shmuel was only talking about Chol and not Shabbos. That's not necessarily so, because he was saying that could be, but maybe Shmuel was made a Legabi Shabbos too. That's how we got into that particular question. Then, that was the entire Omer Aleph, essentially, yes.
In case of normal Mila, there's two things, though. There's a Mila.
There's always two things.
Mila and Priya. Priya is on a membrane.
That's correct.
And therefore, the child is even if he's mole, maybe that thing.
Right. And that membrane is sometimes very tight. So it could be that we have a case in which we don't even recognize that it's a membrane. And it looks exactly like the skin of the atar.
Yeah, but it's attached to the...
Okay. Let's continue to the next thing.
That membrane also is not one piece. It's opening... open. I mean, it's just like the...
What do you mean it's open? It leaves room for the arrhythmia, is that what you're talking
right,
about?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, right, but it could be completely stuck.
Up until there.
Right. Now, we had another question, which is a fascinating issue that we began yesterday, which is the shaila of whether there is a halacha of a dependency of the first part of the pasuk to the last part of the pasuk. Since the parsha in Tazria begins with the din of tumat leida, with the din of tumat leida, it says over there, kimei nidat votati tuma, and then after telling us that halacha, then the Torah comes along and says, ubiyom ha-shmini yimot v'sar latov. So the question is there really a connection between those two sugyas? Rav Asi held that if, for some reason, the mother is not tamei leida, so let's say she delivered by cesarean, that there would be no din of mila bishmini, and mila then would take place immediately, as soon as feasible. Abaya said that doesn't make any sense, because originally mila was given without any din of tumat leida to Avram Avinu, and it was always by yom hashmini. To which Rav Asi said, there's a new din of Mila that was nitchatsha after Netinat HaTorah, which is not the original Brit Mila, and which is indeed Nogea Tumat Leida. Now, we continued yesterday in showing that there seems to be a Machloket Tanaim that expresses this issue, which opened up a whole new question to us, and that is, besides the din of Leidat Banim, there is also a halacha of Milat Banim, there's also a halacha of Milat Avadim. Milat Avadim, the Torah separates into two issues, Miknat Kesev and Yelit Bayit. Those two psukim, there are two separate psukim. In both psukim it mentions both the Yelit Bayit and the Miknat Kesev. However, it mentions it in different ways. So, in one pasuk, we start have Imo Yimol Yelit Beit Chal Miknat Kesev, period. Doesn't say anything about Shmini. In the other pasuk, which is the pasuk given to Abram directly, Ben Shmanat Yamim Yimolachad Kol Zachar seems to be everybody, Yelid Bayit to Miknat Kesev. So the Yimolachem Kol Zachar Yelid Bayit to Miknat Kesev by Yom HaShmini. They said, Uben Shmonat Yamin. Mashman of the Ben Shmonat Yamin goes on everybody. From which the Braita concluded, this is from the Shilzot actually, concluded that there is a separate halacha of Milat Shmini on Miknat Kesev and Yelid Bayit, and a separate din of Milat Rishon, or Mila immediately, on a Miknat Kesev and Yelid Bayit. We, in order to discover what the two cases would be, what decides when we're going to be Mal? used that discussion to discover the machloket tanoim about the difference whether imo is tmeyalena or not tmeyalena. And let us review that again, because we're right in the middle of that sugya. Says the Gemara, Kuflamid Heomid Beis, Yesh miknat kesef shenimo l'shimon. Okay, and yesh miknat kesef shenimo l'echad. So the Gemara now says ketzad, one third of the way down. How do we have the case where we could distinguish between a bought evet, in which we have some cases where it's nimo for the first day, some cases where it's nimo for the ketzad? Lakach shipcha mi'uberet, somebody who purchases a pregnant shipcha, v'yachakach yalda, so at that point he bought both the shifcha and the contents of her womb, and therefore he bought the fetus. That is a miknat kesev, that is nima lishmona, because the birth takes place in his reshut, and therefore it becomes similar to the posik that says, uben shumonat yamin yimol lachem kol zachal ador etechem. This is similar to the mila of your own child, who was born to you. So too, this eved was born to you from a mother that you owned. So even though technically it's a miknat kesed, it's still nimo lishmona. How about if lakach shifcha uvelada ima? On the other hand, if he purchases a shifcha and separately an already born infant, that's a miknat kesed. There it's not similar to lachem, because generally speaking, our children do not appear out of nowhere. They go through a process of gestation and birth. And therefore, this particular case where all of a sudden I own a child from nowhere, that is not similar to lachem. It's reasonable, therefore, to view this as the case, as the miknat kesev that the Torah didn't mention ben shmunat yamim about. Very, very reasonable. Makes no difference. 10 years old the baby is, 1 day old the baby is, exactly the same. The day you buy him, that's when, yeah, in the same way that he appeared out of thin air, and all of a sudden you are the proud daddy of this child. Well, it's B'nai Beitcha, and you have no idea where he came from. On the other hand, children that are born in your household, whether they're born to your wife or they're born to your shivcha, those are always shemini. Whether you purchase them, meaning that the fetus already existed and you bought it, or whether the fetus came into being, conception takes place in your rishos, all of those cases are basically the same. That's a miknat kesev you read by. So says the Tanakh. How about a case of yesh yelid bayit shenimo lishmona ketza? What's the case of a yelid bayit? Well, evidently, lakach shifcha v'nita b'ra'etzlo. He buys a shifcha who's not pregnant. She conceives in his reshut the yalda, so that's a yelid bayit. And this is a yelid bayit, which will certainly be nimo lishmona. I mean, imagine if you bought the shifcha and it was nolad. The child was nolad bereshutcha, so it's miknat kesev, it's nima lishmona. Kosher came, the yelid bayit, where the conception takes place in your reshut, of course it's going to be nima lishmona. Where would be the case of nima le'echad? We don't know. Because before we find out what the Tanakhama holds, all of a sudden comes along now another shita, the shita of Rav Chama, who says, excuse me, gentlemen, please go back to the drawing boards. It is not a function of conception and Leda. It's a function of whether the mother was tfulah at the time of Leda. And therefore, being as if she was tfulah, there's a din of tumat Leda. And being as the din of Mila is dependent, Bishmini is dependent on tumat Leda, you left out the most important issue. Most important issue is, was the mother already a Jewish shipcha at the time of Leda? That's the issue. Since that's the issue, according to Rav Chama, this now becomes the machlokas, the Tanakhama and Rav Chama, becomes the machlokas, Rav Asi and Abaye of yesterday. Is there a relationship between Tumat Leida and Mila Lishmini, or not? That's our Shaila. This is the type of thing that happens very often. Because you have more and more Syrians. It's very Nogea. It's in many Midinot, what are called Mefutachot. The Syrians are rapidly becoming the standard way of giving birth. Since it's a very simple procedure nowadays, who wants to go through all the messy birthing process? So now the elective Caesareans are standard. So now the Shaila, does that mean there's no din of Mila B'Shemini? There's no din of Tachiyat Shabbos? There's no din of Mila B'Shemini? This is the Machlokas. Okay. So now, this is where we were holding. Yes, a Shifcha is Jewish. as long as she was tefula.
That's what we call shivcha kenanis.
A shivcha kenanit tefula has a din of a Jewish woman in all issues and all mitzvahs.
More than the man, basically.
Right. Except in terms of yichusi. So let's see now Rav Chama inside. So Rav Chama Omer, Yalda v'achar kach tefila, if she gave birth before the tefila of the mother, that's yalid bayit shenima le'achad. And there, why? Because it's not similar. Forget about being similar to lachem. It doesn't fulfill the linkage, which is conditional to Mila Bishmini, of Shivat Yamin, that she has to be Tameah. If the Tvila, the Achar Kach Yalda, Zehu Yilid Bayit Animo Lishmona. Whereas the Tanakama, Lo Shani Lei Ben Itvila V'Achar Kach Yalda, Ben Yalda V'Achar Kach Itvila. According to the Tanakama, there seems to be no difference as to when the Tvila took place, which proves the Apagav the Ein Imo Tmeah Leida, even though the woman was not going to be Tmeah Meyat Nida in during those 7 days, Nimo Lishmona. That's the machlokas we had yesterday. However, now that you've mentioned it, we are rather curious because you broke off the middle. Just as we were finally going to find out how it is that the Yalid Bayit, according to the Tanakama, is going to be Nimo on the first day, and darn it, he interrupted, and now I don't know. So it comes out the way Rav Chama was learning, there was a way of distinguishing between a Yalid Bayit Uz Nimo Le'echad and Yalid Bayit Uz Nimo Le'shmona, namely, was the mother Jewish or not? Fine, very reasonable. But how about according to the Tanakhama? Why would there be a Yalid Bayit that was Nima Le'echad if the conception took place in his own Rishut? How would you explain that? Asks the Gemara. Min Shlema the Reb Chama Mishkakat La'Yalid Bayit Nima Le'rishon. Yalid Bayit Nima Le'shmini. Miklat Kesev Nima Le'rishon. Miklat Kesev Nima Le'shmini. We had four cases. According to Reb Chama, we can actually easily fill in the blanks for each one of these cases. But surprisingly, what the Gemara is about to do is offer another way of filling in the blanks than we originally did. And it's for a very obvious reason, as we'll see in a moment. How do we fill in the blanks according to Rav Chama? Because up until now, what we did, you see, is we have a chart with four blanks to fill in, right? So we have our rows, our Nimo Lishmona, well, actually our rows are Miknas Bayis, and Yalid Bayis and Miknas Kesev, our columns are Nimo Le'echad and Nimo Lishmona. Okay. What we started doing is we filled in three of those values, according to the Tanakhama, when all of a sudden Rav Chama appears and says, hold on, the issue is not, as the Tanakhama said, in the section, which was the fourth column, was the second column, second row, in which, according to the Tanakhama, Nima Lishmina is going to be a case where conception took place in the Rishut of the owner, and that was a Yalid Bayit, that's Nima Lishmona, says Rav Chama, not necessarily. It depends on when Tfila took place. And let me take that difference and fill in now row 2A as well as row 2B. Row 2A, in where we have the question of Nima Le'echad, is talking about where there was no Tfila. Therefore, there was no Tuma. There's no Tuma, there's no Nima Le'shmona, and therefore this follows is the Nima Le'echad. According to me, the second and final column in row 2 is filled in by a case where she was Nitzvah. So if she was Tfula before the Leda, that's a Nima Lishmona. The Tanakhama still is left with that first hole on row 2. Right? We don't know when the Echad was. But the thing is, we also now are going to go back and point out that according to Rav Chama, we should not fill in row 1, column 1 and column 2, the way we did before either, because there'd be no point in it. Actually, according to Rav Chama, we should say as follows. The case would be, Yolda be'achar kach yitbila, zeo yili, oops, sorry. Yeah. Where am I up to? Well, no, I said that already, right?
No.
I'll say it again. Bishon Rav Chama, mashkach lo yili bayit nima liyachad, yili bayit nima lishmona, miknat kesef nima liyachad, miknat kesef nima lishmona. Yolda be'achar kach yitbila, that's the yili bayit shnima liyachad, which is row 2 and column 1. If you have itbila ve'acharkach yalda, zo yalid bayit shnima le'shmona, fine. This we know, row 2, column 2. Going back now, surprisingly, to row 1, miknat kesef nima le'shmona, column 2, kedon shelakach shivcha mi'uberet ve'itbila ve'acharkach yalda. Because according to Reb Chama, the same thing would be true about a miknat kesef, being as the din of nima lishmona requires tumat leida, or even in a case of a miknat kesef, where I buy the fetus, because the mother is already pregnant, so I bought the fetus and the mother, nonetheless, if I was bat biel de shibcha, and then she has that baby, it would be nima lishmona. Jew, and it's very similar to lachem. Very similar to lachem. Whereas a miknat kesef nima le'echad, the case would be kegon shelakach ze shivcha veze ubra. Case would be one guy buys the shivcha and one guy buys the ubra. Now, the truth is that obviously Reb Chama could have said exactly the same case as the Tanakhama. Namely, you bought the shivcha and the already born fetus. That was the case. This seems to be a gratuitous complication.
Huh. Are you not worried that one day they'll do it to you? Don't you know it comes around?
So why do we now gratuitously confuse everybody by giving us a new case in which two people come along, one guy buys the shivcha, one guy buys the blood? Why don't we just say, for heaven's sakes, the baby was born already?
We're
offering now another case. According to Tanakhama, the case was born already. Why are we offering this new case? Because there would be no point in Reb Chama telling us the other case. Why would we need for the child to have been born? I ask you. Since according to Reb Chama, even if the child wasn't born, the din of tefillah is going to define the shaila nima liyachma, right? So according to Rabbi Chama, even if the child was born after I purchased the mother, it's still going to be nila liyachma. So what's the chiddush in the case? The chiddush, therefore, the case that I want to give is where it's not similar to lachem. It's not similar to lachem because one guy owns the mother, another guy owns the fetus. So over there, it's not really a lachem.
So what do you say? If the mother was involved, if she was dotal, then if somebody else owned the ubar, it wouldn't mashpia on the ubar as well?
No, because over here, it would be mashpia, but not in terms of being mechayiv in nima lishmona. Okay. Because nima lishmona is dependent on two issues. Mm-hmm. With your own child, it's dependent on one issue. But when it comes to the din of miknat bayit, there, I keep doing that, miknat kesef, there, it's similar to how does it fit into the pasuk of lachem, ben shmanat yamim no lachem, versus the other pasuk where there's no lachem and no shmanat yamim. So there's an issue of, is it yours? Obviously, if I'm distinguishing between someone that's born in my rishos and someone that I bought into my rishos, the question of how similar it is to being truly yours is the issue. Therefore, according to Rav Chama, I would like to be machadish something new, that even if she was tefula, and even if the child hadn't been born, it's not mine because I didn't own the mother. That's the point. So again, here's an interesting case in which literally it was born in my home, and it's not yalid mitcha, it's miknat kasbecha, because you had no monetary rights to the mother, only in the fetus. Mashenkin, if I tell you the child was already born, I'm like, obviously the child's already born. I'm like, what's the chiddush in that? According to me, there's no shaykes over here to leida and tuma and mothers at all. What am I going to bother telling you that case? According to the Tanakhama, that's an easy way to split things up. Because the only issue is the lachem question. Fine.
But the ubra means a fetus before it was born.
Ubra is her fetus.
Yes, so in other words, somebody bought the fetus, the rights of the fetus.
Correct.
Before it was born.
Correct. Fine, so that would give us all four cases, right? Very nice. Miknat kesef, that's not to say that he wouldn't agree with the Tanakhama's case. He says, what's the point of telling me that? I mean, that's very obvious. So that's why it confuses us a bit, because it gives now a different value to 1-1. Okay, but Lamaisa still makes sense. Now, according to the Tanakhama, how does this work out? So according to the Tanakhama, la Tanakhama, bishleim akulu mashkachatu, everything worked out just fine, except for 2-1. Right? We had 1-1, we had 1-2, we had 2-2. But where's the case of a yelid bayit that is nima le'echad? That we didn't know. Because according to the Tanakhama, the Tanakhama makes a difference if she was tefula or not. So it was born in my house? So what would be the case? Omer of Yirmiya, the case according to the Tanakhama would be mashkachat la, the case would be where you were lokeach shivcha le'ubra. You bought the shivcha in order to have rights to the fetus. But you had no rights to the mother at all. So the birth of the fetus takes place in your home, and it's your birth. It's your lid beitcha. because this fetus was owned by you at the time that it was born. Nonetheless, it's not similar to Lachem, because when a child is born in your home, there's usually a woman from whom the child was born. In this case, there's no woman, because the woman is not in your home, so to speak.
There's no woman in your home.
So, in other words, for all intents and purposes, the woman is a machine. So we have now a Yelid Beitcha that refers only to the fetus and not to the mother.
Like
that's the case in which there's no din of Nimel Hashem. It's not similar to Lachem.
It's like a mother.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like a Miknat Kesef.
It's not like a Miknat Kesef. No. It's a Yelid Bayit that is not similar to Lachem.
Therefore,
it's the same din as Miknat Kesef. Well, Miknat Kesef also has a din of Shmona. There's a Miknat Kesef. You can't just make that.
Right.
That's not the issue. The issue is not Miknat Kesef. The issue over here is, how similar is it to what we called Lachem, in which it said Ben Shmonat Yami? All right, that would be the case. Wait. That's not so simple, you see. Because, I mean, it's nice, but it doesn't work out according to everybody. Because remember the famous Machloket, which has nothing to do with Mila, just in general Machloket, about whether if somebody buys something for rights of production, whether that gives them also the ownership in the device that gives the production. So suppose I buy a field, and I'm buying the field in the sense that I'm purchasing your field for rights of growing, not to own the land. Is the land in any way mine, which has tremendous nafkaminas in terms of shibudim and so on, right? Is the land in any way mine? In other words, is the kinyan on the land for the produce or not? That's a machloket called kinyan peirot to kinyan haguf.
Isn't that a renting basically?
That's a question. It is possible to rent, but rent also gives you kinyanim in a thing. A renter has kinyanim in an item. The question is it less than renting? So this is a big machloket, right? Yeah, well, this isn't rent. I don't own the thing at all. I only bought it so that you deliver the production, let's say. Right? Can't even move it. Can't even walk in there, let's say. Maybe that's a condition. Nonetheless, does that right imply kinyanim in the item? If it does, then over here, in buying the rights to the uber in the shivcha, I'm buying the shivcha for the uber, and only for that purpose. Does that give me rights to the mother, technically? Because that's where the kinyan was. In which case, why would it not be the same as the other case? L'man yomer kinyan peirot. Kikinyana Guf Dami, my Ika Lamema. Then what would you say is the value of 2-1?
Potentially Yelid Bayit.
Potentially
like Yelid Bayit.
You keep doing that. It is a Yelid Bayit, not if it's like a Yelid Bayit. It is a Yelid Bayit, but it would be more similar to Lachem as this Yelid Bayit. Misharsha, very simple. Belokeach Shivcha al Menat Shalola Hatbila. It is possible to buy a Shivcha and to make a deal with the Shivcha, I am not going to turn you into a Jewess. And you will be working for me, which means that basically I can only buy now your slavery in terms of the work that you're going to do for me, but it's no longer a normal Shivcha relationship. Since that's the case, there is no element of Chiyuv Mitzvahs at all, and therefore it is not similar to the Lachem at all. Not because of Tumah, nothing to do with Tumah, but because all things that are lachem, even avarim, are generally connected to your way of life. In a unique case where you buy a working yeshivcha, you're basically buying a machine. And therefore, there would be no similarity to lachem. So androids are not included in the din of the Mila Lishmini.
You're buying a machine or you're buying,
A machine. No, you're buying a machine.
You're buying a machine,
but it's certainly not lachem.
Own it,
It is, right. The question of how long you're allowed to do this for and so on, but because one of the dinim is that we buy our body in order to assimilate them, not simply to use them. But fine, this is not our sugya, but it's a lamaisa, it's lokach amenachilo legairo, that you're allowed to keep, certainly for a period of time. I think that you are not aware of the intricacies of the implications of such a question. And it's best that we leave it untouched, because it's going to be, that would be nogea many, many issues that are not necessarily part of our system. So, For example, in buying an Uber, are you buying a Dover Shalom Bali Yoylon? So what about if you're old, you can't purchase such a thing then without buying the mother? And so on and so forth. I mean, let's leave that behind. Okay. Tanya Rebbe, should have become Lealoma. Now we have another question. We can now go on, move on in the world. Our other question is this. We spoke about the Orlatova Dai, which is the question of is it a suffix, whether he's maybe a Nefel or whether he's a Bar Kayama. What actually defines that shear? I mean, up until what point would we have doubts as to the viability of a newborn? So Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Kol Sheshahah Shloshim Yom Ba'adam, Eino Nefel. If a child survives for a month, it is not a Nefel. Shenemar Uftu Yavi ben Chodesh Tifteh. Since the Torah is Mechayev you, after the din of Bechor, on Pidyon Bechor, only Ben Chodesh, apparently it's only at Ben Chodesh that it becomes established that such a child is in fact viable. Now you're going to have to deal with it. So now you have a live Bechor that you can begin thinking about survival. Now it's time to cough up. Whereas by Behima, Shmonat Yamim ba Behima, Eino Nefa. If an animal survives, now of course it's a little bit different because by an animal it means survives to the eighth day, whereas by the Adam it means survives 30 days. So the Pidyon HaBechor is on the 31st day, whereas by the Behima, this end of the seventh day is already the beginning of viability. So by the Behemet Shmonat Yamim Shenemar, Umiyom Hashmini Vahala Yeratze LeKorban. So the reason that he uses the Shloshim and the Shmona is because these are the words that appear in the Pasuk. It's not because they're really parallel. Halo Shahab, clearly implying that if the animal, the child, didn't wait 30 days, that he's claiming that a child is a suffix. The child is a suffix nefel. And we just said Orlato Vadais Dovr Shabbos. How do we ever do a Brit Mila on the eighth day? So then Mima Lechi Ma'alin on Lech. Omer Vada Barava. It's very simple. If he's dead, so you're just cutting meat. And if he's viable, so then you're cutting him in the Mila. So what's the problem? You'll have to cut meat on Shabbos. So therefore, Ma'alinot Ramanasha. Im Chayu Shapik or Moyo. Vilav Mikatek Vibasaru. And therefore, Ramanasha, you can do the Mila. Wait a minute. So I thought we said just yesterday, Suffolk ben Shiva, Suffolk ben Shimona, Ein Mechalalin Levet HaShabbat. We don't know whether this child is premature or whether he's actually a seven-month gestation child who has now held on a little bit longer to his lovely time in the womb and therefore really is a completely now viable and fully formed child. I mean, he said, if you don't know, Ein Mechalalin Levet HaShabbat. I mean, that's exactly the case that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel just got finished telling us, and the din is, you said, that you can always do it in the Manashah. So why then did we say yesterday you can't be Mechalel Shabbat in the Manashah? Nirmalei in the Manashah. Im Chayu Shapri Kamoyo. Either you're doing a good job, Vim Lav, and if not, you're just cutting dead meat anyway, so you're Mechatek B'Basar, and therefore it should be Mutter.
But maybe Mutter.
So therefore what? What? We're not going to be Machmer to be Docha the Shabbos, to be being Docha Shabbos. We're worried about a Mutter. Oh, my Margarita Ravina. Obviously not. Are we not going to care for this baby because we're in the Sukkot?
So Mutter.
The baby didn't die on Shabbat. He's perfectly alive. You're taking good care of him, changing his diapers and so on.
So the baby's dead when we go to cut. It's on Shabbos. What I mean.
The baby is alive, breathing. It gives every indication of life. We're talking about a technicality here. In the event that he's a NAFO, it's not worse than cutting a piece of dead meat.
Cutting a piece of dead cat?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he isn't a dead cat. He's a living, breathing human being who needs his diaper changed. Omar Marbereda Ravina. So Marbereda Ravina explains, Anna, Ravina Chumi Bar Zecharia, we explained what was really meant by that case. Of course, you do Mila on that child. What we were saying that you don't do Mila on a suffix meant not for Mila. Mila can have a modern life. What we meant was, according to Rabbi Yezir, the Mila, you will not do Makshire Mila. Because Makshire Mila are not Mamanashuk. I'm making a knife. Is that a Chilul Shabbos? Where's the Mamanashuk? So if I'm making a knife on Shabbos, and it turns out there's no baby to be Mal, all I'm doing is cutting cat, so then in that case, Enoch Inami, I would need the Chol Shabbos. Therefore, I can't do it. But according to the Tanna Kamma, doesn't agree with Rav Eliezer de Mila. Then there's nothing to worry about. Because I'm not sure Mila anyway, you're not Docha. And all that's left is the Mila. The Mila, you're right. Mamanim Shach, I can do it. Omer Abaye Kitzadnoi. The question of whether we would view a Nefel as a mate, which is the suggestion of your Rav Abba Abba, actually seems to be a Machlokes Tanoi. V'chiyamut min ha-beima asher hi lachem la'ochla. It says over here that if an animal dies to you, it's a kosher animal, hanogeya b'nivlata yitzma ad ha'aret, you will be tameh in touching that corpse. Now, what would be the din? It says over here, asher hi lachem la'ochla. How about if it's not a beima asher hi lachem la'ochla? So what's the difference? Ah, the difference is la'avi ben shmuna she'en shechitato mitaharato. So therefore, the question over here is, what is the din of an animal before now it has been completely matured? This is not ben shmuna yomim. This is talking about a behemah gas. A behemah gas has the same gestation as a human, 9 months. So what is the din of an animal in which the animal is not fully formed, it's premature? What would be the halacha of a dead, premature animal where it was shechted? Is the shechita, in other words, do we look at the premature animal as being a treifa, or do we look at it as dead?
It's born dead?
No, it's born alive, but you said it just looks alive, smells alive, acts alive, but it's really a dead cat.
Cat walking.
Right, exactly. So now, obviously, if you shecht a cat that's walking, doesn't make much of a difference. So the question is over here, if this animal is basically dead, then when I'm shechting it, I'm only being mechatek bas of the home, in which case it will not be torn. It's just like any other corpse. If it's a problem, okay, it's a problem, I'm not allowed to eat it. That's like a treifa, I'm not allowed to eat it. But if I shecht the treifa, that head is offering me a beautiful target, Barnea. I can use a little bit of lipstick and draw it. Of course, your wife may not approve. So now, this, of course, the halacha here would tell me whether to look at the nafel as bas or b'yama, that it would be indeed metame b'masa like an abela, or whether it's alive and it's nishlep. So here we bring up Raita that says that shechita will not be metayer a premature cow. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omri, shechitato metaharato, a premature cow that is nishchat, is not dead meat. It's not kosher, but neither is a treifa kosher. But it's also not a corpse. Now, my lava kamiflagate, apparently, this is precisely the machlokas that we just had. The mar sabar chayu, umar sabar metu. The question is it alive for all intents and purposes, or is it dead for all intents and purposes? Omar Rabba says, Rabba, now how can you think that that's the machlokas? Ehachi, if that's the machlokas, why in the world would we have to argue about whether it's the tami is an avail? So then, why couldn't they argue about whether you would be allowed to eat it with shechita? Because what makes you think that not? Ella, I suggest, the kuleyama may too, on the contrary. Everybody would agree with Rav Abba Abba. It's dead. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon hold, yes, it's a dead shechita, dead, meaning it's like a treifa. Isn't it true that a treifa, even though it's dead, is not a corpse? So treifa, afagav de metahi, shechitato metaharato, achinami loshna. Therefore, here too, it's no different than a shechted treifa, whereas the Rabbanan say, of course it's different. A treifa, at least, had a time in which we could view it as a viable animal. This had no such time. So treifa had a shat ha-kosher, and during the time before it became a treifa, it was kosher to be shechted. So once it has that moment to be kosher to be shechted, shechita can now be metayeret. Masha'en kein, this thing never ever had that moment because it was never mature. Well, wait a minute, what are you going to ask me? I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, so what about a congenital treifa? An animal was born as a treifa, never had a shat ha-kosher? So why wouldn't, according to me, why wouldn't that be the same case? We should find a machloket as to whether what? Shechita is matayer? Of course, shechita is matayer. No.
Hatam yesh b'minashita. At least over there, in the set of such things, there is a case in which there has a shatah kosher and so on. Mashainkin, over here, even in the set of such things, even in the mean, there's no such thing. Because there, hatam yesh b'minashita, there's a concept of shita on the set of treifot. Whereas hakein b'minashita, there's no concept of shita on the set of premature animals. Iboilot. Mipligi Rabbanu Leg Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Olam. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel came out of nowhere to say that the 30 days or the 8 days are definitive. Is that a machloket, or is he just telling us something that's normative alone? Do we find any machlokas about this issue? And assuming that we do, how do we pass it? Imtim Shalom Pligi. Halakha kamoto, or in halakha kamoto? Well, it's evident, says the Gemara, that there must be an argument, because we know the case that we had before, egel shenolat b'yontov, shochatinato b'yontov. If an egel is born on yontov, you can shecht it on yontov. How could you shecht it on yontov? Maybe it's a nefel. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, until it survives for 7 days, you can't shecht it and eat it because it may not be royal shechita. So here apparently is the das of a Tanna Kamma that argues from Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, because you'll notice that the language of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, kol sheshahar, implies that on every single newborn, we're going to have this question, not on a particular case where it looks to us as if it's premature. So how would we find a case in which you could check a newborn animal, and maybe there's no shechita on a newborn animal? So Achramayas Kinan answers the Gemara, Kimle begavesha kol lo chadashav. Wait a minute. Shimon ben Gamliel admits that there are cases where you can know the age, the extent of the gestation. You can know when the animal was impregnated, that it had no other opportunity for impregnation. Maybe you used artificial insemination, there's been nothing around it since then. Or maybe you examined the simonim of the animal, because we know when there's completed nail formation and certain hair formation the Gemara goes through, but then it's kim, after it's born, then it's kim lebegavei shekolo lo chadashav. Maybe the Mishnah is only talking about such a case, but they don't, you know what I mean? In a case where you don't have any knowledge, maybe you would not be allowed to shecht it and eat it on yontov. Maybe everybody agrees. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Sorry. Okay. What about this? V'shavim she'im nolad hu v'mumo imo shezeh min hamuchan. Even a bechor, which you're not allowed to eat unless it has a mum. Everybody is moded that if the bechor is born on yontov together with the mum, that it's called muchan, because this is congenital, which means it was muchan agav imo. So for before Shabbos, you could have shechted it now and eat before Yontev. I mean, shechted and eaten it. Therefore, it remains now food on Yontev itself. It's not called Nola. But wait a minute. It happens to have been born today. So how can you eat it? It's a shechted if it was called a lo chadashav or not. So apparently there's a Tanna Kamma who doesn't believe that there's such a shechted. And we generally assume that gestation went on to full term. Says the Gemara, no, achinam shechol lo chadashav. What makes you think that it's not the same case? So we're talking about a case where I know how long the animal was pregnant with this before. Toshma. The Amar of Yerom Hashemol Halacha Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Now look, if it says in a psak that Rabbi Yehuda paskins in Shmuel's name like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, obviously he must have been aware of a dissenting opinion. Otherwise, how are you paskining a halacha? So halacha b'chlal d'pligi. Shabami, now there is indeed a dissenting opinion. There's a Tanna Kamma who holds you don't have to take into consideration such a suffering. Omer Abaye, it's not that simple, says Abaye, because nafal min hagag o aklo ari divrei hakol chayu. If now a child falls off of a roof and dies, or a lion eats him up, so then I have no reason, even Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, to doubt that it was a full-term infant, and had he not met up with an unfortunate end, he would have survived, and therefore he is a chai, and this is very important, because let's say he was the only child now to a father who died, you wouldn't need chalitza, right? One very evident issue. So he's definitely a chai. Ki plea the machlokas is only where he evidently did not have too much life in him, because he yawned one day and gave up the ghost. Ki plige she pihek v'meit. Now there's a machlokas we've shown him whether pihek v'meit means literally he yawned and gave up the ghost, or it means he didn't come to some kind of strange end, but he may have been affected by an illness. Is an illness the equivalent of being eaten up by a lion, or is an illness the equivalent of pihek v'meit, like a crib death? So mar sofer chayu, mar sofer meit. There, there's a question of whether he's alive or dead. Lamai matkamina, who cares? I mean, Lamai said he died before I was chayav now to be paid to him or whatever. If the father died, and now this is the only child that was left, so if you hold, if it's nafa min agago achlo ari, if you're telling me divrei akol chayu, then enoch inami, he would still be pater ben ayivu min achalit, so the mother can go and marry somebody else?
So wait a minute.
Yeah. Nafa, but that's even the kever. I mean, that's not inheritance, but that's even the kever. Nafa min agag, or ochlo ari, divrei akol chayu. Is that true? But we know an actual case where Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bar-Avin, Rav Yeshua, came to Rav Yehuda Bar-Avin, his son, the Avigu Igla Tilsa, the Yomama de Shiva, and he made this beautiful meal that unfortunately had been shechted on the seventh day from its birth. Very expensive ego. And he said, "Darn! Why didn't you wait until the evening and then check it? I would have eaten it. But now, I can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? I understand. Certainly, somebody coming along and shechting the animal is the equivalent of it's being attacked by a lion. I mean, those humans are the worst, right? So, I mean, you said everybody agrees it's chai. You refuse to eat it. You apparently thought that you have to be machmer and be chayshish. Maybe it's not a chai. And the shechita wasn't a good shechita. I thought you said everybody agrees. Ooh, sorry. Okay, let's change that. Let's do it the other way around. If it yawns and gives up the ghost, kishepiyeh v'meit, divrei akol meit, or just the opposite. Everybody would agree, even the Tanakhama argues on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree, that if it shows evidence of not having any viability, that indeed it was a mate. The only question is where those human predators, where they get it, over there, and he was being machmir on himself not to eat it, even though basically the lion got it. But nonetheless, he's going to be machmir to be chayshid like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, Ravdini Bar Yosef had a child, and the child died within 30 days of birth, and he sat Shiva on the child. His father came in, Ravdini Bar Yosef came in, finds his son sitting Shiva on the death of the grandson who never made it till 30 days, and his father says to him, Amar Le'Avua, Sabranita kabayit aleich meichal. I see that you like the kind of food they bring to Avelin, so you're pretending to be an Avel, so that all the neighbors will bring you in some delicious things to eat. Because there certainly wasn't any need to sit here and sit Shiva on the kid, because he was becheskas neifel. So his son answered him, Amar le'kim lebe, shekolu lo chadashav. I know for a fact that he was born full term, and therefore I know that I'm mechuyav to sit Shiva for him. There's a beautiful musar word on this. What is it, stam? I mean, just to make a nasty comment like that. It's a very interesting musar word that they bring. That, on the contrary, what the father was saying is, the slightest bit of prejudice in your thinking can push you over the line to make a mistake in himself. Maybe you like the food. It's nice to be the subject of everybody coming in and treating like a hero. You're the, oh no, they're going to feed you, they'll take good care of you. Not so bad. So maybe you're thinking in those terms. You know, yeah, you're looking for the platters.
Well, what is that disease about? Somebody's syndrome, you know?
Where people name things.
Yeah, where they do things in order to gain sympathy from
what's it called? What's
mother. Von somebody's syndrome, I forget what it's called. But
okay, nothing on your side. He was being serious. He wasn't about to be nasty. Sometimes even that type of warpage in the clarity of your thinking is enough to make a mistake himself.
Maybe it's a mistake. We hear that it's a person who is disabled, has shown too much, and so people have reasons to know those, and then you're being able to know on this, so then.
Omari, Gimla Beishkal Okadosh. Ravashi Ikla Be Rafkana Isra Be Milsa Begot Lassin Yom. So Ravashi comes to Rafkana's home. Rafkana loses a child who's less than 30 days old. Chazad Yosef becomes a tabel, and he sees that he's sitting Shiva. Omar Leilo, Savali Marlo, Hadi Amr of Yiram Shmuel. Halokha Kripshimim Megamliel. Why are you sitting Shiva? Don't you all that Halokha is like Kripshimim Megamliel that there's no fear of sitting Shiva? Omar Leikim Le Begabe Shekol Lo Chadashat. I know how long gestation is. Itma. Meit betoch shloshi. Va'amdavenit kacha. Here's the question. The father had died. the newborn dies within 30 days of birth. The woman goes and accepts kedushin from another guy. Om Ravin Mishmei Dorava. In Eshet Yisrael he cholet. Thank God for Tosfos. If she's an Eshet Yisrael, so then she should do chalitza. Just to be Yotze Mitzavah, what do you need to be? Your whole life you're going to be living with a woman who was Osir, maybe. The child was considered to be a Nechel, that wouldn't bother to do Chalitza. In Eshet Kohen, he ain't a Kohen. However, if the guy who married her now is a Kohen, so if she'll do Chalitza, a Chalitza is Asur Le Kohen, then already it's not Kedai to do the Chalitza. So most Mepharshim explain that Afilu Alibur of Shinna Begamliel, there's a rove, even according to him, there's a rove of viability, that the gestation was full term. And therefore, this whole thing is a chumrah. I will not be machmer if it means taking a woman away from her husband. And therefore, forget about the chalitza. The kohen, in this case, would not be allowed to remain with a woman who is a chalitza. The problem is, as Tosis explains, we do not aser a suffix chalitza to a kohen. We're not motzi, once there was already marriage. Not motzi because of suffix chalitza. In which case, what's the problem? To do chalitza. It's not going to be worse. It can't be worse than it is. If she's not allowed to get married, this is the Yoraisa. We're going to make a chalutza. So make her a chalutza. So there's a number of different approaches. Tosfos' approach is because we want to avoid a situation which people will say that a chalutza is muteris to a kohen. Okay? So therefore, it's better not to do the chalutza in this case. But it isn't because we would really be motzi her from her husband. We would not be motzi her. Even not in such a case with the problem of the blood and so on, a suffer chalutza, we wouldn't be motzi. Now, what happened is that Rav Sharvia quotes Rava as saying, Achad zu v'achad zu cholet. No, she should do chalitza, because that way you take off the yisud yoraisa. Omar le Ravina, Rav Sharvia, Ravina said to Rav Sharvia, you're quoting Rava, that he said to do chalitza. The fact is, before he went to bed, that's what he said. Le'yurta amar Rava achi, but when he woke up in the morning, le'tzafra hada be'yad charata, and he said for the kohen, don't do the chalitza. Omar Lay, so Rav Sharvia said, Shiritua, you were matir this woman without chalitza? Yei rava de tikshru tava. May it be God's will that one day you'll be matir eating chalet. There's a beautiful Ritzadik on this, absolutely stunning. It's I mean, what is Tom? What, he's lying? What's he saying? He held that Lamaisa Rava apparently was Masukah. If Rava had changed his mind, he would have been Dorish. Wasn't Dorisha. I'll never get you to change your mind. Why? Because when people make mistakes, they're always convinced that they're right. The only way you'll ever do tshuva and see reality is where your mistake was evident. So you hear up some, you should make such a mistake that it's clear to you that you're an idiot, and then you'll start taking things seriously. But until the day comes that you're clearly an idiot, you'll keep holding on to whatever mistake you made, which is so true. Because people, until it's absolutely untenable, they hold on to the most insane kind of beliefs. And it has to be completely torn from them. So this is the Yirah HaShepesh Tishu Tarva. Doesn't mean I want anybody to eat the chayla, but I want you to see what an idiot you are.
Who's it? And what is he saying the mistake was in Rava?
You're relying on the fact that Rava was in the La, the Rafi, the other. That's what you're relying on. To be Matir HaKalutza, a non-Kalutza, I mean, and a Yavama Lashur. That's what you want to be Matir. Good. Okay. Very good, gentlemen. We did it. And I hope we went through these three separate sugyas with a leif, a tuach, a dad, a salula, and with happiness to greet the future.